Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
The first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 40. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. The third reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. The fourth and final reading is taken from John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back amongst you, particularly at Christmas time. Struggling a bit this morning, I'm probably not alone, as the pre-Christmas cold and cough has hit the family, well, in fact, it's hit the church. But God willing, we'll survive and we'll get through. So it's greetings, Christmas greetings, in fact, from New Wells Family Church. I'm representing New Wells Brabourne this morning, and of course New Wells Ashford. Now then, fasten your seatbelts, sit back. I've come to tell you that you and I are united this morning. Did you realise that? Wow. I'll tell you why we're united. We're united by a bond that transcends the boundaries of time and space. And that bond is divine love. Wow. Not just love, but divine love. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? Divine love. Yeah, good. Thank you. There'll be one or two more like that as we go through this morning. So, okay. And this morning, we're here to immerse ourselves in the warmth of that love, to soak in its depth, to marvel at its breadth, and to be transformed by its power. So I need to ask you right from the outset, are you prepared for divine love to come down this morning? Are you prepared? Are you ready for divine love to come down and soak you, fill you, embrace you, bless you, and transform you? I know I am. I hope you are too. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. There it is. For God so loved the world. These words, my dear friends, are probably very familiar to us all. But there's so much more to them. They're a beacon of hope, a testament to the boundless love that God has for you and for me. For God so loved the world. Wow. So, this morning is all about Advent love that came down at Christmas. Unusual for me, I'm keeping to the Baptist pastor's tradition this morning of bringing you 3 points. And they are the manifestation of God's love, the majesty in the manger, the majesty in the manger, and the message of love at Christmas. But firstly, can I just encourage you all right now, in this place, for this moment, to lay aside any discouragement you're carrying. to lay aside any concerns you have, lay aside any temptation you're under, anything that is not of God, lay it down, will you please? So then that your hearts and minds will be open to the ever presence of the transforming power of God, and be open for his love to come and embrace us and immerse us all. As I often like to say, he wants to come and love us to bits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude for your immeasurable love. As we reflect on the birth of your Son, may we be filled with a renewed sense of awe and wonder. So as we come to your message of Advent love for this morning, please would you help us to abandon our sin, our vices, our anger, our resistance, our annoyances, anything in fact that might prevent any one of us to be totally immersed in your love offering that you have for us this morning. And all the people said, amen, amen. Manifestation of God's love. Well, first thing to say is something pretty obvious, but it needs saying nonetheless. God's love is not just an abstract idea. It's not just a head thing that we talk about. It's something that's real, tangible, something that can be felt, experienced, embraced, and something that is ever present, whether we realize it or not in our everyday lives. It is like the air we breathe. We can't see it, but we can feel it going in. It's like the sun's rays. We can't see them, but we know they warm our skin. Like the rain that nurtures the earth. We don't see what it does under the earth, but we enjoy the results. God's love is always there, always surrounding us, always available to us. And yet, it is still far more than that. It's a love that goes beyond our understanding, a love that transcends our human limitations. In the readings this morning, we had four of them. Each one an example how God's love manifested itself through the birth of Jesus. Love came down at Christmas to be a perfect example of God's love being revealed to the world. God didn't just tell us he loved us, he showed us. He showed us how much he loved us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, not as a mighty king or a powerful warrior, but as a vulnerable baby born in a humble stable. Folks, that was a divine act of love. It wasn't just a message. It was a demonstration to you and me of his love for you and me. And let's remember that that demonstration of love didn't stop in the manger. Oh no. It continued throughout Jesus' life. He healed and loved the sick, fed and loved the hungry, comforted and loved the grieving, loved the outcast, loved sinners, even loving the self-righteous who he challenged. Every word Jesus spoke, every action Jesus took was a manifestation, or if you like, a display of love, of God's love. So here's the thing. God's love coming down at Christmas was not the greatest manifestation of his love. The greatest manifestation of his love was still to come. And that was to be at the cross. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends." Jesus willingly laid down his life for you and me. He took our sins upon himself. He suffered in our place and died so that we might live. Surely, surely, this is the ultimate demonstration of God's love. A love so deep, so high, and so wide that it's hard for us to fully comprehend. But even with our sort of limited understanding of God's love, you and I have the privilege and blessing every moment of our lives as we experience his amazing love. We experience it when we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. We experience it when we feel God's presence in our lives, guiding us, comforting us, and giving us strength. We experience it when we see the beauty of God's creation around us, the intricacy of a snowflake, the majesty of a mountain, the vastness of an ocean. All of these are manifestation of God's love to the world. But let's be clear. Experiencing the love of God must include giving out as well as receiving. Are we not all called to manifest the gift of God's love to others through our own lives? Are we not called to be his hands and feet in the world, and in being so, loving others as God loves us? Manifesting his love is also about showing kindness to those in need, forgiving those who have wronged us, standing up for justice and truth. Okay, so here comes the question for the morning. When was the last time you or I loved someone in the way that God loves us? When was the last time you or I loved someone in the way that God loves us? Only you and I know the answer to that. But it's a pretty challenging question, isn't it? I guess if you or I had to think about the answer to that question, well, I'm sure that says a lot. So, manifestation, majesty in the manger. Oh, I love that expression, majesty in the manger. Well, our attention is drawn now to the humble setting of a manger and the majesty in that manger. The manger, simple feeding trough for animals, and yet the chosen place for the birth of the King of Kings. It's a scene that is both humbling and yet awe-inspiring. A scene that invites us to marvel at the majesty that was found in such a humble place. Folks, doesn't the manger in its simplicity and humility stand in stark contrast to the grandeur and glory that we might expect for the birth of a worldly king? The pomp and circumstance in the world. Yet, it was at and in this humble manger that the King of all creation chose to make his entrance into the world. This was no ordinary birth, for this was the birth of the Saviour of the world. And so this manger becomes a symbol of God's humility, his willingness to step down from his heavenly throne and enter into our world through very humble circumstances. There was majesty in the manger, yet humility is further emphasized in the fact that the first to receive the news of Jesus' birth were not the religious leaders or the political authorities of the day, but who? Simple shepherds. Simple shepherds. The shepherds who were considered to be the great unwashed of the time, lowly and insignificant in the eyes of society, were the first to hear of the good news of great joy. They were first to see the majesty in the manger, the first to worship the newborn king. And this tableau surely reminds us that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, because he chose the humble and lowly to be first to receive this amazing good news of love to the world, demonstrating to the world his love and grace are available to all, regardless of status or situation. This beautiful yet simple Christian tableau must serve as a reminder to us all of God's providence and sovereignty. Despite those humble circumstances, God was in control. He orchestrated the events leading up to Jesus' birth, from the decree of Caesar Augustus that led Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, to the star that guided the wise men to the place where Jesus was born. Every detail was part of God's love divine plan. a plan that was set in motion before the foundation of the world. The manger then, not just a symbol of humility, but a symbol of God's providence and sovereignty and love. For God so loved the world that he sent his son in those circumstances. You know, the Greek word used for world here is cosmos. That's as it sounds, but starts with a K, not what we might think would be a C. It's also used in John 1:10, where he says, he was in the world, cosmos, and though the world, cosmos, was made through him, the world, cosmos, did not recognize him. And in these passages, cosmos refers to God's created order, the world in which we live. It emphasizes the fact that God's love is not limited to a select few, but extends to the entire world, to every nation, to every person. So then, what should the majesty in the manger remind us of this morning? Well, for me, the first thing that comes to mind is the purpose of Jesus' birth. He was born to bring salvation to the world, to offer hope to the hopeless, and to bring light into the darkness. The manger then isn't just a reminder of God's humility and providence, but a reminder of his hope and salvation and love, a reminder of worship and adoration, all of which invites the shepherds, the magi, and you and me to bow down in reverence, to offer our gifts of love and devotion, and to proclaim the good news of great joy. And then that leads us to the message of love that came down at Christmas. Love coming down at Christmas is about the manifestation of God's love in the world. It's about the majesty, the humility of the manger. And lastly, it's about the message of love that he brought with him to you and to me. Surely then, this is the greatest love story ever told. A story that began in a humble manger and culminated on a rugged cross. This is a story of God's love coming down to you and to me in the form of a baby. A love so powerful and transformative that it forever changed the course of human history. It was a love that was sacrificial. Love came down at Christmas and it came down in the form of a sacrifice. The birth of Jesus wasn't a random event, but a divine plan set in motion by God himself. The creator of the universe, in his infinite wisdom, chose to send his son into the world, knowing full well the price that he was going to have to pay. This was not a decision made lightly, but one born out of a deep, abiding love for you and for me. It was a love that was willing to give up everything, even life itself, for the sake of others. Now, for those of you who are of a certain older age, you may remember an outstanding film called Love Story. Does it ring a bell? I think you might have to be certainly at least 50 or 60 years old to know it. Starred Ally McGraw and Ryan O'Neill. It was released in 1970, became a standard when it came to love films. And of course, it contained the now famous line, "So what is love?" And the response is, "Love is," anybody? "Never, never having to say you're sorry." I can remember seeing the film for the first time, and that came out. Love is never having to say you're sorry. It's a famous line. If you Google love is, you'll find thousands of worldly responses. But for me, the renowned Christian author C.S. Lewis smashed it by saying, "Love is not an affectionate feeling, but a steady wish for the loved person's ultimate good as far as it can be obtained." And for me, that encapsulates the essence of God's love for us. A love that desires our ultimate good. a love that was sacrificial, a love that was willing to pay the ultimate price to secure your and my salvation, a love that was transformative, a love that marked the beginning of a new era when the power of God's love through embodiment of Jesus had the power to change hearts, to mend broken relationships, to heal deep-seated wounds, and to bring hope to the hopeless. It's a love that breaks down barriers, crosses cultural divides, and transcends human limitations. It's a love that came down for everyone, a gift for all humanity, a divine love that came for the shepherds, wise men, rich, poor, outcasts, and sinners. A love that knows no bounds. A love that is available to all who choose to accept it. Folks, the message of love at Christmas is not just about a feeling or an experience. It's also about a call to action. It's a call to live sacrificially. It's a call to be agents of transformation. And as hard as it might be sometimes, it's a call to extend God's love to all people. So here's the thing. Will you strive, and I include myself in this, will you strive this Christmas to live out this love in your daily lives? To be the hands and feet of Jesus in a world in need of his love? To be the conduit of that love in our homes, our employment, our families, our church, and in the world around us. So what about you? What about if you don't know of the love of God in the way I've spoken this morning? Well, you've heard that the love of God is real. Billions of Christians around the world will testify to that fact. You've heard that he was really born in a manger. He really lived amongst us, and he really gave his life for us. God's love is a love that reaches out to each one of us this morning, inviting us to be part of his family. It's a love that doesn't just promise life, but life abundance, and of course, life eternal. If you're a follower of Jesus here this morning, you will get it, I'm sure. You will get why God's love is so important. But what about those who don't? Well, John Piper, an American preacher, author, teacher, a man of great spiritual insight and wisdom, once said this: if you love the world, it will pass away and take you with it. If you love the world, it will pass away and take you with it. So what about you? Do you love the world a lot, and maybe Jesus a little, or not at all? Maybe you think that by having a foot in both camps is a just in case. Maybe you've heard the Christmas story and had the invitation to receive the love of Christ a number of times before, but never really responded. Maybe there's a little voice that says, it's okay to put it off for another day. Maybe you're asking, what do I need to do to have this kind of love in a loveless world? Well, let me tell you this. I put off giving my life to Jesus for 4 years. Why? Because I could, and because I was a rebel. And then the Lord became frustrated with me and said, Jerry, for goodness sake, get off the fence. Either you're in or you're out. What a wake-up call that was. And I came in. And I've never looked back. But I tell you this, I have regretted having lost 4 years of knowing and experiencing the true and amazing love of God in my life. So what about you? Does it seem hard for you to believe you're deeply loved by God? Well, know this. Our God does not turn away from us sinners in disgust, but moves towards us with his saving patience and presence. God knows we are sinners. That does not reduce his love for us. A call to accept God's love is an invitation to embrace a life of purpose and peace and transformation by recognizing his unconditional love and aligning one's life with his will. Let's pray. Bow your heads, close your eyes. So what about you? Are you ready to choose his presence over worldly emptiness? Are you ready to let his grace fill you, even when self-love is hard? Love is the foundation. Divine love is the foundation of a connection that invites each one of us to surrender and know of the intimacy of our God. It's a welcoming place where we truly belong, and you do too. And if you're thinking, so Jerry, what do I need to do to receive the love of God in my life? The answer is simple. First and foremost, open your heart, open your mind, and receive God's love. Surrender his life, surrender your life to him. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes, if Jesus has met with you here this morning, maybe just raise a hand in acknowledgement that he has been and is present. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, a love so great that it was embodied in the purpose of Jesus. Thank you for your love, which has filled us, embraced us, and changed us this morning. As we leave this place, help us to carry this love in our hearts. Help us to share in with those we meet. Share in with the love of God. Share in all that we have been given. Help us to live out divine love in our actions. And as we celebrate this Christmas, let us remember the true reason for the season. Your love made manifest in our Saviour, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray and say together, Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.